観光トーク。アロハ everyone. Thank you very much for listening to this program. Konko Talk is a program where people in the Konko faith talk about various topics. The thoughts and opinions we share on this program may differ from yours, but we hope that you will enjoy and learn something new. Perhaps we will learn something new that may affect our thoughts, behaviors, and actions for the better. Our different backgrounds, religions, thought, and culture provide the diversity that strengthens our community, just like biodiversity is essential for a healthy planet Earth. I am Koichi Konko from the Konko Mission of Honolulu. Joining me are Amy and Edna. How are you doing today?
Good. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you very much. So today, let's talk about, I think we love to talk about food, but also food is very important for us. We need to eat. The food support our life, sustain our lives. And also, while eating, we enjoy not only food, but also quality time, so that the food is very important for our life. And I like to talk something positive, so the food, when we talk about food, we're happy. So I like to talk about food today. Many years ago, we went to an ice cream shop, and the ice cream shop owner told that he liked to see people to smile, and everybody in the shop was smiling. And the people come to buy ice cream and all happy. Nobody come with that negative feeling, so that he said that he started the ice cream shop. And that's good, I think. You know, food make us happy, so that it's a good thing to me. So I like to talk about food. Do you have any favorite food or stories on food?
For me, I love food. I love food very much. And that's why I like to, you know, every time we go on a trip or something, I want to try the food there. And especially like going to Japan, the food is so amazing. It just like, it's pleasing to the eyes and to the palate. So I just love the food when I go there. But my favorite food is kaisen don. Yeah, I love kaisen. It is a seafood donburi with basically sushi rice on the bottom of the bowl and slices of different kinds of sashimi, ikura, salmon eggs, and also like uni on top, some wasabi and some shoyu. And that is my most favorite food of all times. Yeah, and every time it's my birthday, I tell my dad, kaisen don, I want kaisen don. So I love it.
Good. Sounds delicious, yeah. I love too. How about Amy?
My favorite food, oh gosh. You know, I don't really discriminate against food, obviously. I like all kinds of food. I think maybe my favorite would be ikura don too, but it's a very specific ikura don that I had on a trip, my first trip to Hokkaido, and my friends at that time to I don't know what the English is, asaichi, and it was in this little, it was like a fish market, I guess, and they had like a little shokudo, like a cafeteria type thing, and they had the freshest ikura I have ever had in my life. It was the best, and I to this day I think probably that would be, if I had to have a last meal, am ever so blessed to be able to choose when my last meal would be and what it would be, I think it would be that, because it was just that good, really good. It's just simple, just rice and ikura and a mountain of ikura. And I think it had like scallop himo, hotate no himo, so good.
Dude. Yeah, good. I went to Hokkaido too. Oh man, the seafood is number one.
Right. I mean, like Kyushu and, you know, Ariake Kai, like their seafood is really good too. Mm-hmm. But, and you know, and Seto Naikai has their set of different fish and things like that too. I still think that it may be too that it wasn't just the food itself. It was the trip that we took, the memories that I made on that trip. But yeah, food I really don't discriminate against food. I like it all.
Good. Yeah. Look at your faces. Your smile. So nice when you talk about food. You're so happy.
Food makes us happy.
Yep. What is your favorite food, Koichi?
I like ramen.
Ramen is good too.
I also like a shoyu ramen. I raised with the shoyu ramen. Whenever my father told us, let's go out, eat something, and what would you like to eat? He always asked us, but we all say, ramen or udon. As a parent, you know, we like to go something more expensive place, I could say, but we all say that ramen or udon, you know. So we used to go ramen shop, but I moved to Fukuoka and I found the tonkotsu ramen really good too. So now actually I prefer tonkotsu ramen now. I used to go ramen, eat ramen. We took like an hour to get the shop, the specific ramen shop, when like 10 p.m., 11 p.m. Oh, I like to eat this ramen, yeah? Oh, let's go. You know, when we hang out, then we talk, kind of just chatting, and then we start to talk about ramen. Oh, let's go. And, you know, we don't care 1 hour drive, but we still want to go eat ramen.
That's interesting, the lengths we were willing to go to for food, for a good bowl of ramen or a good plate of sushi.
Right.
It's very interesting. I'm very mendokusai about a lot of things, but when it comes to food and cooking it or something, then you know, I don't feel the tiredness, I don't feel the bothersomeness of it. Every effort. It's very interesting. Yeah. Very motivational food is.
I'm glad, you know, some people cannot eat like a ramen because of tonkotsu soup, you know, chicken, or not only like a flavor but also religious reason. Sometimes I feel sorry that I'm glad that I live in Konkokyo, and Konkokyo doesn't say anything about food. There's no taboo, you can eat whatever you want, but also our founder said you should eat with gratitude. So not what you eat but actually how you eat important. Always I have to think about, and also that's also blessing from Kami-sama. I feel like I can enjoy more, you know, because when we eat food, actually we take in somebody else's life, so that we should enjoy it and also respect. And easy to forget sometimes when we were hungry, or I want to eat right now, and sometimes when we're hungry we feel like short temper, so that start to eat and I forgot to, you know, say grace before meal. Thank you to Kami-sama. Thank you to the life. So I stop and pray and continue to eat. But I'm really glad that, I think that's my father told that we're so glad that our founder never discriminate any food. Mm-hmm. Just appreciate to Kami-sama.
Yep. There's like a whole section on food in the voice of the universe. Like how food is made and provided by Tenchi Kare no Kami to sustain our lives, and or like food becomes medicine or poison depending on your heart. Yeah, things on food. Food equal life. If we can't eat, then we basically die. So important. It's a function that we take for granted every day. And it's so interesting because no matter how delicious the food, you know, could be in front of your face, if you don't feel happy, if you feel depressed, if you feel sad about something, or if you don't feel good, you know, your health is not up to par, then no matter how good or expensive or delicious the food is in front of your face, you won't feel like eating it. Hontoni, you know, that's, yeah. There was a time I was taken to a really expensive 5-star restaurant, and the person that took me out was arguing with his mother and calling each other names. And they were like, oh my gosh, must you guys argue over the table now? And you know, the things they're saying to each other were so like, kind of like heartbreaking. So I didn't feel like eating at all. Had this beautiful, nice plate of prawns, you know? They're prepared so beautifully and it looked so delicious, but I only took one bite and my stomach was getting, and I just couldn't eat anymore. I had to take it home and enjoy it. later on. Really, if you're not feeling well, if you're not happy, just can't enjoy the food. So it all has to line up, yeah?
But sometimes the opposite happens, yeah? The people kind of arguing and they fight over something, but when start to eat, and that's so good, and that help them to calm them down, and they start to, or they can discuss instead of arguing. Mm-hmm. It depends on the food too. That the chef who cook have to know their feeling or their favorite flavors or memories. I could say, because the memory, I mean, food make the memory back. So that's, I think that's why people could stop arguing, but start to appreciate so that they can have a better relationship.
It's like Edna was saying, like it all kind of has to line up. Like the food can influence the atmosphere. Atmosphere can also influence the food, the taste of our hearts also. So, you know, that teaching that says that food can become poison or nutrition, depending on your own heart. I think that's where that comes from. It has to all line up for it to become medicine for your body. If the environment doesn't allow for that, then that makes it hard for your heart to receive that food and its nutrition for your body, and the opposite way too.
I work in a hospital and we give patients meal trays, and some people are really grateful for the food. They're like, wow, this food is so delicious. Can you thank the chef for me? Like, you know, things. But then there's the opposite where they're like, how can I eat this kind of food? It tastes like cardboard or crap, you know? And they say really horrible things about the food, and it's good. But it's just that they're not in a good place health-wise, so they can't eat. There was a patient not too long ago, and he had a really nice tray of really delicious food, and he said, I can't eat any of this, sucks. And I was like, maybe it doesn't, the food itself doesn't suck, but you're not able to enjoy it, is that why it sucks? And he's like, well, yeah. Then he began telling me that he has like 5 or 6 cold sores in his mouth, and I looked in his mouth and it was so raw, you know, and he was basically taking out his anger on the food. Probably could have enjoyed it better if he was a complaining heart. It's kind of hard to receive. Like, people want to heal hospital, but it's kind of hard to heal when you don't have the gratitude factor in your heart. You know, you treat the staff mean, you complain about everything, you know, it just doesn't match up with energy of the universe. So the universe heals, it's the energy of the universe, but if we're not in sync with the universe, it cannot be difficult.
Yeah, so it's true, if we can enjoy food, our life will be better. If we're suffering, something hard to enjoy food, and our quality of life is getting worse. I remember the Ikkyu-san story. Do you know Ikkyu-san, Japanese animation? Ikkyu-san is the child or monk, very smart. It's like 500, 600 years ago. He was a real monk, but the story was, I think, fake. And the shogun was so feel very boring every day. He eats very delicious food every day, but he didn't feel those expensive delicious food not delicious because I think every day thing. And he said to Ikkyu-san, could you actually order him that if he can give him a very, very delicious food? And Ikkyu-san was just child monk, but okay, so I can give you a very, very delicious food. And but before that, you have to do this or that. So the shogun went to his temple where he was training, and the Ikkyu-san told shogun. Shogun is very high, right? The very strong authority, and he doesn't do anything. He doesn't need to do anything, but people do for him. He have to carry water, make a firewood, everything, you know, he have to work. And finally he got tired and told Ikkyu-san, where's my food? And finally Ikkyu-san provided just like okayu. And they gave it to him, and he was surprised. Oh, what is this? But anyway, he was hungry, so he ate it so delicious. He said, wow, so delicious. Ikkyu-san concluded that because you didn't work, you're so bored, you eat every day delicious food, you're not hungry, so that you don't feel delicious, even though in front of you it's a very delicious food, gorgeous food. But even though you work hard and you get tired and you're hungry, you can enjoy this food. I just remember the story.
Yeah, I mean, that's like that's like food always tastes better after a hard day's work or something, right? Like I think actually it was my brother Roy that mentioned this before. Like he's a pretty picky eater. I don't understand how he became a picky eater when we have the same parents. I swear my dad raised me to never be picky about food. Like it wasn't allowed, but for some reason Roy grew up very picky about food. But I think he mentioned before too that he's picky about food, but it things just taste so much better after a hard day's work, like being out in the yard and doing some yard work all day out in the hot sun. Things just taste better. That same bowl of rice, ochazuke or whatever it might be, tastes so much better versus, you know, spending all day inside and not really doing anything, being a couch potato and eating that same bowl of rice just doesn't have that same satisfaction. Mm-hmm. Or even like a glass of water just doesn't taste the same. It's your situation. I guess in Hawaii, like if you can just imagine a bowl of shave ice on a hot summer's day versus that same bowl of shave ice coming out of freezing after spending all day in a freezing AC room or something, it's not the same. It doesn't have that. Doesn't hit the same. Yeah.
I remember a story my mom told me, who I don't know where she heard this from, but I guess it happened during World War II in Japan, where there was a food crisis, and really the only, it wasn't even food that they had left to eat. It was just green tea. You know, the family would all gather at the table. And then I guess the head of the household, like the grandpa, would get the teapot and pour some tea, hot tea, into each cup. And although that's all they had for meals, just tea now, the grandpa would take that hot cup of tea with a big smile on his face. And he's like, hey, Dad, you know, like we shall partake of this tea. And then a sip. And then he's like, that is so delicious, so delicious. And then like the children all remember that, how great, even if it's something as a glass of water, we can just, you know, take it and drink it and be like, it's just water. Okay, I'm thirsty, I'm gonna have some water. But we can always be like, I'm thankful for this glass of water. You know, we're really lucky that we have clean running water straight from the tap. A lot of like third world countries, they have to go fetch their water from like a river or like a really dirty pond, and they have to boil it first, to walk miles and miles carrying the thing on their shoulders, you know, boil it first. And I can't imagine living that kind of lifestyle, but for them it's normal. But if we ever try to live their lifestyle, we'd be complaining for sure. So really, this clean glass of water that we can drink in Hawaii is so precious.
Definitely. Clean water out of the tap. That's something that's actually, there's people on Oahu that cannot, you know, they don't have that luxury anymore, because of that whole Red Hill disaster thing. But yeah, that was one of the things. It kind of hits home when you realize that maybe the tap water isn't safe to drink anymore. That's something unthinkable here. It's more of a reality, sadly.
I heard on the innocent story too. I think one of the sensei experienced that when recapped that the story when he was a child, he said even though very difficult time and there's no food, but because his father's so, you know, he's full of smile when drinking only the green minty water, he has a memory of some kind of happiness. Mm-hmm. Supposedly very difficult time, but for his memory, because his father's smile, somehow he has only the positive memory when recap those days. I think that's very making me think that, you know, what kind of memory. Even though you don't have a good food, but if you eat with gratitude, that's affect around us, and that make people happy, and that memory stay many, many years. The food is very strong, and the memory is very strong with food. Mm-hmm. Do you have any special memory, something like with food?
You want to go in?
Ah, memories with food. I mean, food is the center of a lot of my memories. I mean, some of the earliest memories I have with like my dad is him teaching me how to cook and stuff like that. Mom was working a lot. Dad was the one at home, and one of my first chores was to cook rice. I think that's the same for a lot of kids in Hawaii, especially. One of your first things you learn how to do is cook rice, and if you mess up the rice, you mess up the whole meal. It's your fault. So it's a big important job, and you know. I think I was probably second grade when I cooked my first pot of rice. Lots of pressure for a little kid, but I remember. I to this day I remember. You know, a lot of good memories around food. Times with family is always around food. Times with friends is always around food. You know, a lot of my trips and things like that I remember by what we ate. Mm-hmm. I mean, things that we did too, but a lot of it is centered around food. A lot of my memories are centered around food. I associate lots of food, different foods, with places that I've gone to, people that I've met. You know, what was I eating when? What was my last meal in Japan before I moved back to Hawaii? What was my first meal when I got to Japan to live there? Oh. Stuff like, food and places I tend to associate. Like, I have distinct memories of when I first moved to Konko to teach English. I stayed at, oh my gosh, I don't remember the name. Koichi would probably know. What was that place that I was staying at? Oh, that restaurant run by that family. Oh my gosh, in Konko town. I don't remember the Tsuchiya janakute, no, ka. Oh gosh, I don't remember the name. How rude.
Eka? What kind of food?
No, it was like Japanese food. It's off to the side. It's on the... Their family lived upstairs and let me borrow a room in there. Your mom arranged it for me to stay there.
I don't know. I don't know where you live.
Katsuraya?
Oh, Katsuraya. Katsuraya. Oh, near the route, near the elementary school? Hibinoya?
Hibinoya?
Hibinoya? Hibinoya became Katsuraya. It's a soba restaurant.
I don't know. I don't remember the name of the restaurant. Oh my goodness. I don't remember. But I spent only like maybe a couple before I got to move into the apartment that I was in. Mm-hmm. But every morning the oksama there would cook me breakfast, and we always had tamago tofu, and that was the first time I ate that, and I was like, I don't understand why it's flavorless. I think it was supposed to have some kind of flavor to it, but I distinctly remember that every morning I would have that and natto, which I love. And I mean, yeah, I don't know. I was too afraid to ask if I was supposed to put shoyu on it, but it never had any flavor. And I just thought, is it supposed to taste like this? I don't know what this is supposed to taste like. But yeah, stuff like that. I remember going to the Kozo Sushi in Konko and remembering and thinking, gosh, this tastes nothing like the Kozo Sushi here.
Oh, there was a Kozo Sushi in Konko?
Yeah, there was a little Kozo Sushi in Konko. Yes. Across from, not Maruka. What is that?
Marukyo
supermarket that I would go. Yeah, I would go every once in a while if I felt like eating sushi. Oh.
Is it still there?
I mean, I have no idea. I haven't been back in a while. But, or even like going to that B-grade little supermarket thing, Okageichi in that was close to the school and close to my home. I would go there and I would buy like the little, they had little trays of, they would get like boxes of white peaches when they were in season. They were the best. I would stand over my sink and eat that during the summer. And like dirt cheap too. And then the crabs, watarigani, blue crabs. Super cheap. They're still kicking in the tray, and I would buy it, take it home, and make soup or nabe or something. The best. Super. Lots of good memories. Another memory while in Konko was I had friends that lived in Hiroshima and took me to a kaki festival. Oyster Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And, that was the day before my mom guys were going to come and visit. So my mom and my auntie came and visited me. And so I decided to buy a case of oysters, raw oysters, fresh raw oysters. Had no idea how I was going to open it up and cook it, but it was there and it was fresh. And so we bought a case. It was super cheap. And the three of us just sat there, and I think we ended up grilling some, and I think I busted a steak knife or something trying to open them up. And yeah, it was fun. I mean, that kind of stuff, memories like that kind of around food, lots of those. What about you, Edna?
One of my oldest, youngest, was the first thing my mom taught me how to cook it, what to cook is tamagoyaki, egg omelet.
That's kind of high level, tamagoyaki.
Yeah, I know. And I remember putting a tablespoon of salt in it. You're like, too salty. I was in the second grade. She let me use the stove, and then I said, I'm gonna make tamagoyaki for you guys. And then it was like, oh my gosh, so salty. I think we had to bury it in the backyard. And also in the second grade, I think everything happened in second grade. The teacher read us Spectacular Stone Soup. So I was like,
I remember that
I
story.
Want to make a pot for my parents. And then I remember getting the stool, and then I was stepping on top of it because the stove was too high, yeah? And I was like dropping in all kinds of vegetables, and I was finding like a rock, like stone in the back of the yard. And my mom was like, what are you doing with this? I'm going to put in a soup because it's Spectacular Stone Soup. And I was like, no, you don't put rocks inside the soup. And I was like, oh, the stone was supposed to be this, yeah.
So, I mean, was that what it is? The stone was supposed to be potatoes?
Potatoes, that's what
I don't remember that part.
I thought putting in like big stones would do taste better, but think about it now, it's like, well, growing up, you know, we didn't have a lot of money, so we never had enough money to buy like our own snacks or like go eat fast food. So whenever like friends would like come over and your parents would buy the McDonald's or whatever, smell like the French fries, I'm like, oh, can I have one? And I like beg my friends French fries. I remember that. And my mom, because we couldn't buy our own snacks, right? My mom would always make our snacks. Like she would make cheese crackers because somebody would, you know, offer Osanai a big log of like cheese from like the government. It was like, I think it was like 3 pounds or something, brick. So my mom would make cheese crackers, she'd make andagi donuts, french fries, and just make everything, you know, like the juice, she'd just squeeze her own orange juice and give it to us. And to me, that was really special. That's a really good memory.
It's just like gourmet stuff that's fresh
made. Now that I think of it, it was really gourmet, all homemade. Preservatives, no weird additives, not the best. And when I went to Gakuin, the seminary's pan, I remember the food that is so delicious. Like the fish, like the fried fish with the amazu ankake, you know, in sour sauce, the fried chips on top. That was. And when I went to Amagi Church, I learned how to make miso soup, like the proper way, I guess, the real way. And that was also fun. I also learned how to make miso at Amagi Church. You know, so many food associated with memory, good times. And my dad does like most of the cooking because my mom, you know, she goes to work. My dad, I come to Wahiao pretty much every day if I'm not working, to especially enjoy my dad's cooking, even till this day. And I'm 40.
I would go home every day for your dad's cooking too, man. Pizza and all the fish, his tataki is the best.
He's gonna serve that for Gotaisai to come.
I'm definitely there. I'm there.
When I was a child, when my birthday is the summertime, and I raised in Okayama. So Okayama is very famous for white peas, as Amy mentioned. Mm-hmm. They're very juicy. You don't need any knives to peel, just use your hand. And you have to have a tray or something, otherwise the juice go around everywhere. So my birthday, I was called a pilgrimage to eat the whole peach. Usually we have to share, right? But because the birthday, I was allowed to eat whole peach.
Wow, lucky you.
That's our tradition. Somehow I started out because of my birthday, I was able to white. It's pretty big. My image was so big.
It's huge.
Pretty big. Very sweet. That's my memory, the special memory. Very delicious. It's very different from here. I kind of disappointed I purchased the white
peach. Yeah, it's not at all.
You can't compare that to Kudamono no Tengoku Okayama fruits. There's no comparison. Yeah.
Amy, have you eaten the yubari melon in Hokkaido?
I didn't get to. No, it wasn't in season when I was there. Because yubari melon, I think, isn't that usually summertime?
Yeah, we went in the summertime, but it was so good.
So I was there during winter, so it was actually Christmas time. So yeah, we didn't get melons. It was mostly seafood. Yeah, that's the thing I probably miss most about Japan is the seasonal food. Everything, there's a different flavor for each season of the year, and that's something you don't really get. You get a little bit of it in Hawaii. It's a different kind of thing. You get mango season, which we're right in the middle of right now in Hawaii, but you know, it's different.
When we go to Japan, we go in a regular Japanese supermarket, and it's just like such a wonderful experience. Everything is perfect. They're like the apples, you don't find any with bruises or nothing. They're perfect. Everything. We just love walking around. We always buy a package of big, gigantic grapes.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I'm always amazed at the different types of grapes. Like how many different types of grapes there are in Japan. Like I've never heard of Delaware and Muscato and Kyoho. And I mean, here it's red grape or green grape.
Right?
I've never imagined there were so many different types of grapes, and they all taste different. They're all good. They all taste different.
I remember when in the winter time with the snowing, and my mother make ice cream. I put the ball, milk, sugar, and eggs, I guess, and put it into the ice. I mean the snow, and they wait a couple hours, and we ate. It's not like we expected like ice cream, but still, you know, sweet enough. We enjoy that, and the actual like frozen, so it was interesting to me that you can make ice cream outside.
That's cool.
Yeah, no, we have to resort to doing the salt with the ice and tossing it around or mixing it or something. Yeah, like
ice salt milk.
Yeah,
I remember that. There was a commercial, like the ice cream commercial. Salt, milk, and mix.
Yep. They have. They even sell those like gadgets, right? Where it's like it's essentially a ball, and you put your cream or milk or whatever and sugar, and you put it in a bag, and you put that in the ball, and you put ice and salt, and you toss that ball around back and forth, and supposedly it's supposed to make ice cream. I don't know how well it works, but
I'm laughing. You know, I'm laughing because when I was a little kid, about second grade, you know, I saw a commercial of the ice, salt, milk, and mix thingy. It was like a ice cream maker, a homemade ice cream maker. And I thought you literally put ice, salt, milk in a bowl, mix it up. So I got like a whole bunch of salt, some milk, and some ice, and I was like mixing it up, and I was tasting it. I was like, what the heck is this? They got salty again.
You and your salt.
I know.
Long time ago in Japan, 1200 years ago, the emperor told us, let's not eat beef, or meat. Mm-hmm. Officially, in Japan, they couldn't eat meat. The people ate meat, but actually tried not to eat officially. And the Meiji era, 1872, the Meiji emperor said, let's start to eat meat, beef. You know, it's okay to eat beef again. So that's a very turning point. Otherwise, we don't have any beef. We couldn't have a beef stew or beef. And interesting, people never have opportunity to eat beef because, you know, the most of people are farmers. You know, they use a cow or a bull or what you call a cattle. So they don't eat. They don't want to eat. It's a body for farming, like a family. The people don't eat. But since Meiji Restoration and the emperor said okay to eat, they start to eat. And the founder's time, founder said you shouldn't eat beef. But later he said, it's okay to eat beef because the emperor said okay. That time changed. But I found an interesting story. It was 1874 or 1875. So after Emperor said okay to eat beef. 2-3 years later, he went to Konkosan first time, and he said, I have been practicing faith in Konkosama, and have finally come here today for first time. So first time to see Konkosan founder. And he said, if you will allow me, I would like to ask you something. And you know what he asked? He said, I like eating beef. Mm-hmm. But I think Kamisama does not appreciate of it, even though I practice faith. What do you think? And Konkosama said that, it is contrary to what you think. Let me explain. Eat whatever you like, even beef or chicken. A non-drinker won't drink even if you bring him some sake. Eat the foods you like. They will make you healthy. And while healthy, you needn't ask Kamisama to cure any ailments. So it's kind of interesting. I kind of like this teaching that whatever you like, you can eat, and that make your body healthy. Mm-hmm. But also, Konkosama said, don't eat too much. Yeah, mm-hmm. you have to think, and you know how much you should eat.
Yes.
So I really appreciate founders the teaching that we can eat whatever we want, and that make our body healthy and strong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And of course, we should appreciate that.
Yeah.
Right. Do you think that's the trick though? Like, to concentrate on how you're receiving your state of mind, your heart when you're receiving the food. That's the trick to staying healthy. Like that's if the founder says you can eat what you like, some people might take that as then I'm gonna eat nothing but candy every day. And I don't know, like that almost seems dangerous, but there's got to be some kind of catch there, right? Like what was it that the founder was trying to teach?
I think when you eat favorite food, you're happy, you appreciate. I think that feeling is very important. If you have to eat not favorite food that you don't like, you dislike, I don't think you're happy. If somebody forces you to eat, difficult. It's no happy time. You can appreciate. I read the article, you know, a person who live in England where he decided not to eat anything else except a chocolate bar, something
what?
Like Snickers. He decided to eat when he was like 18, 19 years old. Uh-huh. And he also drank orange juice. For, at the time, I read the article 15 years ago, and he was like 40 or 30 something years old. So he continued like over 10 years, 15 years.
He's
still healthy. And doctor checked him up, but he was okay. But doctor didn't recommend to continue, you know, this diet. But I read the article and why this happened? That's really true. And I concluded that because he must be very happy to eat a chocolate bar every single time. So that's why I don't recommend, of course. But maybe that's eat favorite food every time. Probably he was very, very happy. That kind of feeling helped him to stay to health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't want any of our listeners to think that we're condoning eating ice cream every day, even though I would love that. But don't eat nothing but ice cream. Balance is always good. But having an appreciative heart as as you're receiving the food and anything is probably the
thing. Everything in moderation. Moderation. Because some people, they're told by the doctor, oh, eat more bananas. So they'll just eat nothing but bananas every time. And then their potassium levels like skyrocketing. You know, it's not good for you. We have a variety of foods out there can be in good balance. I want to mention about, you know, the usage of the word junk food. And, you know, when people stuff their faces with like chips and like soda and like candy, like fast food, these they go, it's junk food. This is all junk food. Not too nutritious. But if you take the same food and you feed it to somebody who is starving to death, you know, they will live longer. So really, there is no food that's junk food. And we shouldn't make that kind of distinction. We shouldn't even mention the word junk food. You know, I had a coworker, we were eating together in the break room, and she was like, oh, I'm stuffing my face with all this junk food. And I was like, oh, you shouldn't say that word, you know? And she was like, what do you mean? Because you're basically cursing the food before it enters your system. those kind of, you know, if you say junk food, it is going to do some damage to your body. If you say blessed food, then it's going to be blessed, you know, nutrients. And just like, oh, okay, I'll never say junk food ever again. I'll never see it again. Free food is blessed food.
Interesting. But people like junk food. Yeah, I don't want to say junk food, but something like we kind of like.
Sometimes food. It's called sometimes food. McDonald's day, french fries is like so delicious, but it's a sometimes food, you know, you don't eat.
But I think it's good to have a favorite food when you cannot eat because ill, sick, and doctors say that usually you should eat this or that, but this moment the patient cannot tell him or her that you can eat whatever you want. That's important. You should eat something. And that's when my father was very sick, couldn't eat. It was hard time to eat anything. I brought the favorite food was unagi. Mm-hmm. Of course, cannot eat. Yeah. Unagi is too heavy. So he said thank you, but he couldn't eat. And he doesn't like milk, so that he cannot eat any kind of whitish food. I mean, like a white soup, any kind. Oh, you can. He could eat rice, but some kind of milkish food soup. So he couldn't drink any like ensure. So he was not able to get enough nutrition. Actually, so I feel sorry for him. He couldn't eat. He can't get any nutrition from food at the moment. So I realized that we should have some kind of food you can get the energy. That's very important. If you don't have an energy, you cannot eat, even though you don't have energy to eat. Yeah, sometimes. So I realized that's very important to have a favorite food. I mean, that's why Kamisama give us everybody has a favorite food. Mm-hmm. I think that's good.
Every time we got sick, my dad would always ask us, what do you want to eat? I'll go buy it for you. So, you know, I was like, oh, I want an ice cream. So he would go to the store and go buy ice cream. So like the only time we would get ice cream is when we get sick, because we didn't have money to go buy ice cream or something. And also I want to share a story about, you know, when I was in nursing school, my last semester of nursing, I took up hospice and I was under a hospice mentor. And she told me a really interesting story about a man who graduated hospice. So I asked her, were there ever a patient placed into hospice care, but like didn't end up dying? You know, I asked that question. And she said, yeah, there was a guy who, you know, was supposed to die, I guess. But he wanted an ice cold glass. He chugged that down and he was so happy. And he said, this is so delicious. Like he got well, he graduated hospice and he lived a few years after.
Wow.
I was like, wow, that's so amazing. You know, the power of Coca-Cola. And you know, the drink that people consider a drunk junk food drink. And but hey, a hospice bound guy graduates. Amazing.
It's amazing. Wow.
You know, and some patients, they're like, you know, I wish they'll serve like an ice cold glass of beer. You know, I was like, you know, that probably would be your best medicine. I mean, you're craving that. When you're sick, and that's probably what your body needs. A lot of patients, you know, they're told, oh, don't eat this, don't eat that, on a strict diet, you know? And some of the patients really aren't happy at all because the diet that they're prescribed is so bland, you know, cardiac, diabetic diet. They don't add sugar inside, they don't add salt inside. It's like they're already feeling terrible, and give them bland food and they're gonna feel more terrible and more sick. And like, oh, I think we're kind of doing the opposite thing here. When they're sick, we should just give them what they want.
Yeah, it's hard when food has caused an illness. So like I'm diabetic and my love for food has probably, I wouldn't say caused it, but it hasn't been a helping factor in that. But it you know, just food just brings so much joy, and when you take that joy away from someone, their inability, it just really does a number on a person. Like I recently was put on a medication that takes away my appetite.
What?
And yeah, it suppresses the appetite a little bit, and it's supposed to help, you know, bring down my A1C number and all. And the first 2 days I was on it, it's just a shot and it's once a week. But the first 2 days after that first shot, I felt so horrible, like nauseous the whole time. And so I literally could not eat. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is gonna kill me. Like I really could not eat anything. That was the first time in my life probably that I didn't eat. And
yes, Sean, I mean,
it was to the point where you have to put something in your system. I almost had to force myself to eat something because you can't just not eat. Mm. And it was amazing how depressed I felt because I couldn't eat. Like, you took away my joy, like everything.
Wow, I didn't know they do that. Never heard of that kind of shot before.
It's kind of a common, not common. It's a popular brand. I guess it's a newer medicine. Trulicity. It's called Trulicity. You've probably seen the commercials and stuff.
The first Konko Sama said interesting. He said, "Karada ga hoshiteru tabemono, or your mouth want to, you know, body might need some, but sometimes your mouth needs something. And you have to listen to your body, not your mouth." That's interesting.
Aha. That's my problem, maybe. Definitely my mouth wants things. I can totally understand that where my mouth is telling me I want something sweet, or I want to eat. So yeah, my mouth is telling me one thing, and my body, I'm sure if I was listening to it, is saying I don't need that. Eat the salad, Amy, not the ice cream, you know. Definitely.
Yeah, and the quantity too. When I was young, I think more quantity. I want to eat certain amount to be satisfied. I still have the same feeling, but my body doesn't accept. I went to Japan a couple of years ago before COVID pandemic, and we went to Takachiho, and we are able to eat Takachiho Gyu.
Ooh,
pretty famous. Wagyu, the pretty expensive but very good beef. So Wagyu has a lot of oil, so sashi, like a marble. Mm-hmm. It was so delicious. The people, the friend over there offered me a lot of, you know, oh, why don't you eat one that I ate so good? But at the night, my stomach was not digest well. I couldn't, my stomach was so full, like a balloon, so hard. It's just, I suffered hours.
Wow.
I couldn't throw up. I couldn't do nothing.
Wow.
I realized, oh, I'm getting old. I have to listen to my body. I was so, I learned that was very important lesson, that you have to listen to your body.
That's so true. We gotta take good care of our bodies. Like, especially when we're young, we used to do a lot of like binge drinking parties, mm-hmm. especially in Japan. They'll make you drink. You know, you drink your hard seltzer, and they'll serve you more, and they're like, oh no, enough, and they'll serve you more, and by the time you know it, you have like five or six beers and seltzers, and it's like, you know, your body can only take so much, right? And I remember one time I was so sick, it was like alcohol toxicity was like pretty high, and I remember throwing up. I felt so terrible. I was like, never ever gonna do that again, never.
That's the important part. Like, I mean, the both of you realize that lesson after one time. Some of us take a little more. Yes, that after eating all that ice cream, I'm not going to feel good, and I know it, and I pay for it later. Mm. All of a sudden, that memory goes away a week or two later when I'm feeling like I need to eat ice cream again. Some of us are a little slow.
Yeah, sometimes I miss my young body because I can't eat more. I want to eat more kind of something, but I know I can want to eat a lot of variety, but it's important to your body. Sometimes hard, you still have a hard time. Sometimes I want to drink beer, more sake, sick, you know, morning, no morning, but hangover. Hangover.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should appreciate my body. It's important. Just listen to my body. I think that's Kami Sama telling us. I think the founder, when you know how much you think I'm enough, that's the time I'm telling you enough. You have it. You overeat, that's your body. Don't mm-hmm. do that.
Yep. The founder said to only fill up our stomach 80%. You know, if you take a bowl and you fill 80% with water and you run a little bit, it won't spill. But if you fill it up all the way and you run, it's going to spill. And if we eat until we can literally feel our stomach explode, then I think we feel that it's maximum capacity. And that's just how much more our body has to work harder to digest the food. So kind of tire out the, but food, I love food. So
the founder also mentioned colostrum, about colostrum.
Isn't that the doo-doo, the first doo-doo really? That comes out? Oh, no, wait. Wait, no,
first,
that's something else.
First milk, right? I look up and the first milk after mother
colostrum.
Reverse, and the first milk was different from regular breast milk.
Mm-hmm.
And before, I don't know, in the US or a Western culture, but in Japan, they threw the first milk away. They thought that's not good. So when first they got somebody else's milk, they gave somebody else breast milk and also called goko, like an herb. And then after the mother got the regular breast milk and the baby, the founder said it's not right. The first milk is very important. So you should give your first breast milk to your baby. And actually until like 40 years ago in Japan, they still believe that you shouldn't give the first milk. But founder already knew that 100 years ago, that's very important.
That's amazing, the founder knew.
Immune system, yeah, good. You have to give a first milk so there's many good nutrition so that mm-hmm. the baby can get a good system, immunity.
Yeah, and it's also extra fatty, so it acts like a laxative, and it gets the first doo-doo out. I'm sorry, I got mixed up with colostrum and meconium. Meconium is the first doo-doo that comes out of the baby.
I see.
And the colostrum is going to help get the meconium out of the baby. Mm. Yeah, it's really important, and the founder knew it. That's amazing.
Yeah, founder believe that kamisama provide the first milk too. Why that's poison in it, mm-hmm. So you should feed. That's still kamisama the blessing.
It's like kamisama wouldn't make something if it didn't have a meaning, you know? That's what I think. It's there for a reason.
Well, I think it's time to end. We were able to talk a lot. We enjoy talking food. We smile. I'm sorry that this is a podcast that you cannot show our face, how smile we had with just a full of smile. But I think it was really good. But thank you very much for joining us today. And thank you very much, Amy and Anna.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I hope we can see again. Thank you. Mata aimashou. Bye-bye. Mata
aimashou. See, listen again, please.